1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. President Biden has announced a deal to pause the fighting in Gaza.
It's a three-phase deal based on the ceasefire agreement the president introduced last spring.
I'm deeply satisfied. This day has come, finally come.
During phase one,
fighting in Gaza will stop.
Then comes the first release of hostages,
including women and elderly and the wounded.
Phases two and three will include a permanent end to the war, release of all living hostages, and the release of remains. Most of the deal will be implemented during the next administration. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
President-elect Donald Trump's pick for Attorney General, Pam Bondi, went before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. She was asked about Trump's promise to pardon people who attacked the Capitol on January 6th, 4 years ago.
If confirmed, and if asked to advise the president, I will look at each and every file, but let me be very clear in speaking to you. I condemn any violence on a law enforcement officer in this country.
Secretary of State nominee Marco Rubio's hearing was interrupted by hecklers.
Pause.
Back to order.
I get bilingual protests, which I think is an entry cool.
A lot of the hearing focused on the U.S.'s relations with China, which Rubio called the most potent and dangerous near-peer adversary this nation has ever confronted. The search is on for a cop killer in Houston. Mayor John Whitmire says Brazoria County Sheriff's Deputy Jesus Jesse Varga was shot in the head while serving a warrant to a repeat offender.
This afternoon, we lost a local hero.
The suspect ran from the scene. Women's college basketball teams that make it to March Madness will finally be paid, like the men's teams have for years. Sports reporter Erica Herskowitz has details.
Starting this March, women's basketball teams will get something called performance units. A women's basketball team that reaches the Final Four could bring its conference roughly $1.25 million over the next 3 years in financial performance rewards. In the first year, $15 million will be rewarded to teams out of the fund, and that'll grow to $25 million by 2028.
Last year's women's championship game drew more TV viewers than the men's. The FDA is banning the use of red dye 3 in food and medications. Dr. Peter Lurie runs the Center for Science and the Public Interest.
Over three decades ago, a series of industry-conducted studies in rats clearly showed that this chemical, red 3, was associated with thyroid cancers.
Red dye 3 is found in everything from candy to ice cream to nacho chips. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlow. Governor Tony Evers says he's working to reform gun laws in Wisconsin. And no doubt, he'll face resistance from Republicans. Madison Bureau Chief Savannah Tomei-Olson explains.
The governor says he'll be looking at things like red flag laws, expanding background checks, and gun storage laws. In 2019, Evers called lawmakers to a special session to address gun violence. Republican leaders famously called the legislature into session and immediately adjourned, gaveling in and gaveling out, something they've done multiple times since. Now, since Evers took office, state Democrats have proposed at least 30 bills they say would make Wisconsin safer, but none of them have passed because Republicans haven't supported them and they have control of the legislature. Evers signed an executive order creating the Office of Violence Prevention, surrounded by advocates and leaders. Here's the big question. Can he get Republicans on board?
Just weeks after a school shooting took the lives of a student and an educator who never returned home, common sense gun safety reform and reducing crime and gun violence must finally be a shared priority that transcends politics and partisanship. Reducing crime and violence should be an issue that receives earnest bipartisan support this session.
To create this new Office of Violence Prevention, Evers used $10 million from leftover federal funding to get it started. But going forward, it'll need money allocated in the state budget to keep it going, and that is up to the legislature.
And the Wausau School District is about to go through some major changes to their elementary schools by consolidating to just four of them. One of the biggest concerns for parents has been the new bus routes, but the schools are confident that they'll be able to make ends meet by adding more routes. And if you're a parent with questions, the district says to reach out, and they'll also be sending a memo in just a few weeks of how the changes are going to look. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WISCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WISCaregiver.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Our recent reporting explored the massive contributions to Donald Trump's inaugural fund, reportedly reaching $170 million. What are the rules as to how that money is spent? The short answer is, there aren't any. The Federal Election Commission allows private donations to support inaugural activities. This year, that's a parade, a rally, two luncheons, a tea, three dinners, three inaugural balls, and fireworks at Trump's Sterling Golf Club. The FEC requires reporting of donations over $200, but sets no limits or dictates.
And good evening and welcome to another edition of the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction. K5 Construction, a family-owned and operated custom builder in central Wisconsin that stands out from the rest for its commitment to quality and excellence. From design and planning to the final construction, K5 Construction delivers superior results on every project. I'm Chad Holmes, joined by former Newman Catholic High School head boys basketball coach Jeff Gress. We'll be talking plenty of high school basketball and hockey, plus our guest tonight. At 6:25, we'll talk to the head boys basketball coach at Merrill High School, Troy Pieper. And then our student-athlete guest coming up at 7:06 from the Central Wisconsin Storm, senior captain Ava Rohde. So that's all coming up on this snowy evening in north central Wisconsin. And welcome back, Jeff Gress.
Thanks. You can't expect anything different than the weather changing, right? Back and forth.
I tell you.
All good, but it's basketball season and hockey season, and that's all good. And wrestling and whatever else
well,
we miss.
I mean, you look at it, we're right in the middle of January.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. Again, I hate saying it, but as I get older, it does go by so very quickly. High school playoffs begin in hockey in a month, and then right after the week after that, girls basketball and boys basketball, and within about 2 months it's all done.
It's fast. Great time of year though, because you got the conference battles coming down and we're going down to the wire, just with fun things to happen at the end of the season.
Let's talk high school boys basketball before we talk to Troy Pieper in about 20 minutes. Wisconsin Valley Conference, there's a little gap now. There's only one team that's undefeated and there's nobody with one loss in conference. Marshfield 4-0 in the conference, 7-4 overall. And then there's a log jam with two losses. You got Wausau West and Stevens Point 3-2 in the conference. West 8-4 overall, Spash 8-5. Wausau East and DC Everest are both 2-2 in the conference. East is 11-2 overall, Everest 7-6. Merrill is 1-3 in the conference. They're over 500 overall at 7-6. And then Wisconsin Rapids 0-4 and 0-11. I want to ask you about that right now, because I think that's the case where if you look back, you gotta put one game in your schedule early if you're a team like Rapids to get that win. Because the thing is, they play a good schedule, obviously. But boy, it's gotta be tough to be at this point of the season still looking for that first win.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it'll be a credit to the coaches, the players, because you know they're high school athletes, high school programs, so nobody's gonna give up. They're gonna keep playing and looking for and not knowing the dynamics. You know, I know they're the solid guard play I saw. They changing coaching last year, so things
they did some good things last year.
Yeah, so just things aren't quite gelling the way they want, and you're looking for answers. And, you know, as long as at this point you can still get the kids to play hard, build for whatever you're building for, whether that's game by game or into next season, and that's what you kind of got to go for. But, they're looking at the games coming up. They just finished with Spash, yeah, which we'll talk about in a minute, but it doesn't get any better in their upcoming schedule. So hopefully good things to come for them yet where they can get that first W.
Let's start it, then go from the bottom to the top in March. Marshfield, and quite a week in the conference for Marshfield. On Friday night, They were down by 9 at halftime to Stevens Point, came charging back and won 67-61. Brooks Hinson, 20 points. Joey Ketterer, 13. Grant Chaudinot, 20. Baraka McAleen had 14 for Stevens Point. Then Saturday, they won a non-conference game against Hudson, 66-51, right back at it after a huge win on Friday night. To do it on Saturday afternoon was a nice W, and I saw them last night, and they looked pretty good. Pretty good. They beat Wausau West 50-29, 13 three-pointers, the big part of that game, obviously, and West had a tough shooting night. Brooks Hinson, 17. Landon Lee had 11. Chris Pohl. He had not played until the game on Saturday against Hudson, 6'8", really talented player. They got a lot better from what I saw last night. They're good, and the fact that they were able to survive being at the top of the conference without a talented player like a 6'8", junior who's not really a center. He's a guy who plays a wing, an outside guy. Marshfield, really, I was impressed.
Sitting in a great spot. You mean you go from the comeback win against Spash, which is a good team hanging at the top of the conference. Tough to play back-to-back. You get another one right there with no break. And you not that this, you know, the Spash game was hard-fought. It takes a lot of juice out of your team when you have to come back. As much as it builds confidence, your guys are usually tired that next day. And for them to hop back up and do that again. And then I watched, you know, West play against East, and I thought West has been playing very well, and that night included. And, you know, to go out and control a game like that. The thing I remember about Marshfield last year and into this year, just what I've heard or seen, the versatility, the balance that they have, and now they get a player back in the second half of their season, and I believe he's, correct me if I'm wrong, because you saw the game, he's coming off the bench.
No, he started.
Oh, he started. Well, either way, so if he's coming off the bench, I think that's dangerous, because that's going to balance.
I was surprised, because I heard the same.
But if he's starting, that's just only... That either way, with him on the floor, that's only going to help him. So Marshfield, very dangerous from the guard play to the outside play to the length. They can hurt you in so many ways, which it'll be interesting to see how they roll with the rest of the season, because I think you're going to see them playing for a while.
Let's talk about West and East, because that was a huge game. That was a huge win for Wausau West to go to East the way that East had been playing and really, you know, take it to them. I mean, the final was 63-58, but it was really a game where Wausau West was, I felt, in control for much of the evening. Really a great win. It was a great bounce back as well, because West had lost to Everest previous Tuesday. It shows what this conference is. I mean, you're going to see these teams knocking each other off all the time, and that's why we have four teams now with two losses basically right behind Marshfield. But that West win against East, I thought, said a lot, because again, when you look at, and I said this to Coach Lemons last night, when you look at the roster for Wausau West, you don't see the big kids. I mean, if you look at rosters, you think, oh man, I mean, got East has big kids, Marshfield has big kids, these other teams have big kids, and the way that West was able to win that basketball game was, I thought, very, very impressive.
Well, like you said, when you go and beat a challenging opponent, a good opponent, East, outstanding record at 11-1 at the time, and now they're 11-2 after that game. It just shows with this logjam, like you said, we have in the middle of the conference, it shows the diversity of the conference. But for West, I was actually, you know, fortunate enough again to watch that game on TV, and it was a good. It had all the things that high school basketball needs to have. You know, there's ADs walking up in the student section to calm people down. The coaches are, you know, I watch Coach Garrett, they're fired up because it's a rivalry game as much as it's an important conference game, as much as they both have solid records. So from a spectator's view, I loved it. What I noticed out of the game was West came out, and like you said, they controlled it a little bit through their defensive pressure. East didn't shoot the ball well in the first half, which is not, you know,
they missed a lot of shots. I think a lot of shots they normally would make, which is not to East.
High powered offense has been a massive strength. When that turns on, it's really tough to stop them. And West was able to keep that in check a little bit. And that's when things, I think, it ballooned up to 10-12, maybe, if it got that high. And then it sunk back down because East got hot again on the shooting and started putting the ball in the basket. So just a good battle, though, from, you know, little things like watching players on East try to find their shot again and get control of that offensive end, to West players stepping up and playing a little bit bigger than they are and trying to keep players in check. So I thought overall, great game between both teams. Converted that logjam in the middle, and what for West, a nice win against a great East basketball team.
And talk about DC, Everest, and Merrill. They played last night, and Everest beat Merrill 59-51. Previously, Merrill had won over Rapids in conference on Thursday last week, 54-49. And Everest had a non-conference game on Monday as well, where they lost to Eau Claire Memorial 74-48, a game that was actually tied at halftime, and then Memorial just blew them away. But you look at Everest, Cade Felch, who had a massive game against West last week, had another big game against Merrill with 26, Casey Studeman 11, Vander Truax 10. Tyson Ott had 20 points, E.J. Wyke 17 for the Blue Jays last night. You look at those teams and where they stand.
Yeah, I think Everest, you know, fighting through the injuries of their floor general and keeping things in check have put them in a good competitive spot in the conference. You're going to have that when, as all these teams are, when you're missing key components or somebody gets in massive foul trouble, you don't have a good night shooting. That's when these teams go back and forth and blow for blow, and somebody takes the win and somebody takes the loss. So I think for Everest overall, for the season so far, they're sitting at 7-6 and 2-2 in the conference. They're in a good spot to probably try to make a little push as they gain their strength. And you know, we keep hearing in the weeks to come that Preby will be back hopefully soon, is what everybody's hoping on that team. You know, for Merrill, I think continuing to be competitive, the physicality that they play with. I saw them again against Newman earlier in the year, and they were a team that just played with a lot of effort. Kind of reflective of how Coach Pieper works on the sidelines. He's fiery. He's got a competitive spirit, that personality, and those players feed off that and come to match that and play that type of way on the floor. And so for Merrill, at Everest, tough place to play. Tight game. We don't know if it was a couple free throws down the stretch, and they obviously
Everest
got the win
by double digits at halftime, and they were even in the second half. Again, I did not see the game. Yeah. I did not know if they made a run or not, but it was a big first half for Everest that helped.
But another team within this conference with Merrill that you're not going to overlook on a given night. They could come beat you because they have they have the scores on that team. They have the physicality. They have the athleticism. It's just going to come down to who's playing good D that night and who's shooting the ball well.
Great Northern Conference. Rhinelander in first at 5-0, 9-2 overall. Medford 4-1 in second at 6-6 overall. Mosinee 3-2 in the conference, 9-4 overall. North and Pines 3-3 in the conference, 8-5 overall. Lakeland 2-3 in the league, 5-7 overall. Antigo 1-4 and 7-5, and then Tomahawk 0-5 and 4-8. The big game was last night in Mosinee for the second straight year. Rhinelander's gone into Mosinee and earned a huge win, 63-54 for the Hodags, despite 26 points and 9 rebounds for Braden Reinke. But, Rhinelander seems to have that knack. I mean, that's a massive win, and that puts Mosinee in a little bit of jeopardy in the conference race now, with down by two games against Rhinelander, and they still have a trip up to Rhinelander later in the season.
Yeah, you definitely want to be where Rhinelander is, because you've won on the road against one of your tough conference foes. And you also start off, we talked a little bit about Lakeland kind of being one of those unknown teams of what you're going to get out of them on a given night, and Rhinelander went out and controlled that on Friday with a 70-30 win. So I think Rhinelander's sitting in a very good spot with the driver's seat with that win, especially getting those are hard to go on the road. I mean, we used to tell the players, you got to come in here and act like you're down 10. Home court advantage is worth 10 points on a tough night with fan, you're going to have the fans there. You're going to have people chirping in your ear. You're going to shooting on different rims that you're not accustomed to practicing on. It's just, you got to come to play those nights. And for Rhinelander, definitely did. And again, getting that production out of the Lamers and the Fat Kid, they're constantly 15 points a game in sparring with those two going back and forth. So tough guard. And what I've seen out of Rhinelander, can shoot the ball really well and can have their off nights. And when they're shooting the ball really well, they're tough to guard.
And they'll have another first place showdown coming up later in the week against Medford, which is interesting to me because I saw Medford play. And, Thursday night they scored 22 points against Cross Central. They lose 41-22, and then they beat Pines the next night by 15. I just, again, Medford is 6-6 overall, but they're 4-1 in the conference. I don't really know. I they have some players I thought that did well, but they didn't wow me, I would say, right. But yet they seem to find ways to win in the league, which is, I guess, the most important thing.
Yeah. I ran into somebody at one of my son's tournaments, and one of the things they said was that they thought Coach Brown was one of the, not to take away from any of their coaches, thought he was one of the best coaches in that conference. And so that could be where you're getting different things out of players on given nights. Your kids are playing a little bit above what they can, and it can make them a little more dangerous. Now, you know, they definitely put up the numbers. They beat Tomahawk last night, put up 71 points. Yeah. So, I mean, again, that's against Tomahawk, but they got that showdown coming up against Rhinelander, and they do have a kid average of about 20 a game. So, yeah. I think they're always deadly because of the tradition, and they've been so strong in that conference for a long time.
Merrillwood South, oh, man. Auburndale and Stratford, 6-1 each in the conference, 11-1 each overall. Marathon, 5-2 in the conference, 8-4 overall. Assumption and Edgar, 3-4 in the conference, 4-9 for Assumption, 5-7 for Edgar. Newman, 1-6 in the conference, 2-10 overall. But the biggest game was last night, and probably the first of three, maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
Could be. Auburndale went to Marathon. Double overtime, and Auburndale wins in Marathon's gym. That's a massive win for the Auburndale Eagles, 72-69. Blake Robb, 30 points in that game, overcomes Drew Wolfel's 17 and Garrett Bracewell's 13. But you look at that one, that is just a massive, massive win to start things off.
Yeah, again, you can't get any better from a coaching player program perspective when you can go on the road and get that W of these significant top-tier conference games where you know you got to pull them out because you're going to see each other a number of times. And the sooner you can get that W to kind of get that confidence, build your systems, have your coaches work that chess game to get you in a successful spot to win is what you want. Rob, I know, has been putting up numbers for them throughout the season, been a very consistent scorer. To get in double overtime even becomes bad. I mean, that's what it's about. It's so stressful. The players are living in that moment, which is challenging for them, but at the end of the day, even for Marathon,
they have played a lot of very close games this year. They had a one-point game against Rib Lake. They had a overtime game against Neillsville. They had another one-possession game. I mean, and then they had a three-point win in the crossover against Prentice, 64-61. They are playing a lot of really, really tight games, and I would think that's going to help them coming down the stretch.
It definitely will. I mean, yeah, so you look at their 8-4 record, maybe that's not the same Marathon. Well, you know, I got to imagine that's only strengthening them. You don't lose anything by playing those close games, and again, you can learn as much from not pulling it out as you can from winning it, and I think it's just a good sense of a building block where you can, as a coach, kind of siphon through what you got to do well to get the next one, and as players, you're kind of seeing what you've got to translate into from your practice into the games and the moments you got to make happen to get those W's and those tight ones, especially when they roll around in playoffs like that. So, big win for Auburndale, but I don't think the end of the world for Marathon either, because these teams are going to slug it out again. Oh, got Stratford hanging right behind.
And Stratford, I mean, the 11-1, their only loss was a one-pointer to Marathon, and they won big the last couple of games.
Yep.
They beat in the crossover Abbey 70-35, and then last night they beat Assumption 68-46, which again I was a little surprised maybe with that gap, but they're obviously after the football season and that little bit of a leg to get things going. They're playing some great basketball too.
Yeah, well, hitting your stride. Assumption's extremely athletic, and a lot of kids can score. They got a very good junior class, and I think for Stratford to go out and win that by 22, that's a significant win. And I like the contradicting styles because I've seen Abbey play. It's up and down the floor a lot, as I've mentioned before. And Stratford, you know, they want to run their stuff. They want to stay disciplined. They're going to try to slow you down a little bit. So, you know, with 70-35 over in the Abbotsford gym win is a nice win in the crossover game too. So, you know, great record for Stratford and doing a lot of good things. And transitioning all that football success onto the basketball court with just continued moments of being in the upper echelon of the Merrillwood South Conference.
Were you at the Edgar Newman game last night?
Yes, I was. I was at the table, so okay. I had some of my clock work was very good, but could miss some things.
So Edgar beat Newman 60-52, and obviously for Edgar, they're starting to build a little bit because I know that they were picked pretty far down in the conference, and now they're up to 3-4 and 5-7. And what did you think of those two teams?
Watching Edgar, I thought they, you know, just the way they got the ball out, they like to throw a lot of long passes and get up and down the floor. It was impressive. They were pushing the ball pretty good. So if you're not on your toes and ready to get back after they control the rebound, they really kept you on the back of your heels and did a nice job that way. Also, like the intensity that they play with, you know, when the street fight comes down, they want to win. I mean, loose ball, rebound, going out of bounds. There's kids hitting the floor extremely hard because they get after it pretty good. So I thought, Edgar played well last night, had enough of a scoring punch, and really tries to stick you defensively and hound your scores. For Newman, I thought the biggest thing is that they're just, I know obviously Griffin Pentis hurt, and they just need extra guys to step up in the scoring department, because sometimes what I'm seeing from the other team is that they're able to kind of, they're locking down, trying to handle those guys. The night before against Crandon, Quincy got loose, Fender went off, got quite a bit of points, really kept him in the game, but you're going to need that balanced attack out of a team that makes you most dangerous, so if they do get on that one score, there's enough of a support to finish out that game, because both times it was back and forth a little bit with Crandon. They were hanging around Edgar. Newman made a nice comeback to close the gap. It got up to be 10-12, and I thought they made a nice comeback. They had a couple fouls, missed a couple free throw box outs, and that made a little bit of a difference, but they cut it to within six and had a couple open shots that just didn't fall, and then Edgar hit a couple more free throws at the end to make a difference of what the final score was.
All right, we're going to have to take a timeout right now because it's time for our first guest of the evening. We'll be talking in just a moment to Merrill High School boys basketball coach Troy Pieper. We'll talk about the other conferences we missed a little bit later on in the show. We'll talk some girls hoops as well, hockey as well, so still lots on the plate. But coming up next, it will be the head boys basketball coach of the Merrill Blue Jays. We'll be talking to Troy Pieper coming up in a minute here on 98.9 WXCO. On Thursday night, the Marathon High School girls basketball team makes the short trip to Edgar to take on the Wildcats in a Merrillwood Conference South Division showdown. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 7 and the opening tip set for 7:15. Marathon Basketball on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Marathon Park City, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Brickner's of Little Chicago, County Materials, the People's State Bank, Marathon Cheese, the Dirks Group, Marathon Family Dentistry, and the Marathon Athletic Club. It's Marathon and Edgar in high school girls basketball. Thursday night, starting with pregame show at 7 on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back. It is the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction. K5 Construction, a family-owned and operated custom builder in central Wisconsin that stands out from the rest for its commitment to quality and excellence. From design and planning to the final construction, K5 Construction delivers superior results on every project. With Jeff Grass, I'm Chad Holmes, and now time for our coach guest for this week, the head boys basketball coach of the Merrill Blue Jays, Troy Pieper. And Coach, great to have you back on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. 7-6 so far this season. 1-3 in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. A very, very deep WVC this year. 13 games in, so basically just past the halfway point. How would you describe your season up to this point?
We've been competitive. We didn't have Corey Page for the first six games, so we weren't really our full strength. And we tried, probably to my fault a little bit, we were trying to be a little vanilla to start the year, not to show too much, and it probably cost us a game or two here or there early in the season. But I really like how we're playing right now. We're trending in the right direction. We played Spash really tough last week, had a lead at halftime against them. And that was Jaden Awe's first game back. He's a handful. and then we beat Rapids, who, they haven't won a game yet, but they have two very talented players, and when they find their stroke and they can shoot it, they can hang in there. We had we were up 19-2 to start the game, and they just kept battling back, and it ended up being a dogfight, but we got the win there. And then last night against Everest, we didn't close the half very well. We were down 11 at half, but came back, took the lead in the second half, but just, credit Everest. They hit a couple shots and made their free throws down the stretch to kind of hold on at the end, but we're close. We're close to beating the good teams. We're close. We're competing with them. It's just a matter of getting over the hump, and it doesn't get any easier because Friday we have Marshfield coming to town.
And Coach, I was going to ask you, because you know, just doing this over, hanging out here with Chad in the on the radio show and doing this over the years, you've just seen this grad. I know everybody, you know, every coach and all the players, everybody's conference is the best, and it's best from top to bottom. And I get that. That's conference pride. You're playing it. You're going to believe in it. But I really think that this is one of the strongest top to bottom Valley boys we've seen over the year. I mean, it just, everybody's taking a shot at everybody. People are coming and going. Player, you know, we got a new player in every game. It's just, it makes for just such a great story. But would you agree? Would you think this is one of the top down, one of the toughest years it's been in the conference so far in a while?
I think it might be, as from what I can remember at all. Like, I played in it when I was in high school, and Antigo was really good with the McCanns and Permanex. And West was loaded at the time with Freiburg and McDonald, and they were loaded. They went to state one of those 2 years, I think. But from top to bottom, it's every night. If you don't play 36 minutes of really, really good basketball, you're going to find a way to end up losing, really. This is what it comes down to, because it's such a battle, and there's different people every night. There's the all-conference meeting is going to be, I don't know how you pick five first teamers. I don't know how you pick five second team. I mean, there's so many good players. Marshall alone, you could almost pick a first team with their team. Like, and Spash has players, and West, like everybody. It's as deep and difficult as it's been. And then when you have to do it, like last week was Tuesday, Thursday, which is a nightmare. I hate when they do that. But when you play Spash on a Tuesday, you get a Wednesday, which for us normally is a lighter day, a shooting day, a lifting day, just to kind of get your legs back after the game. We're turning around and preparing for another conference game for Thursday, which is no fun, and it's difficult. But it is what it is when the schedule is like it is. But, like, we went Spash, Rapids, Everest, Marshfield, West next week. I get, there's no, you can't get above water. You can't catch your breath. You know, it's nonstop, and they're all different styles, different sizes, different styles. Some want to shoot threes. Some want to just grind it out. West is just going to physically just beat you down. It's a grind. It's definitely a grind, and top to bottom, it's very, very difficult conference this year. There's no doubt about that.
And I saw you guys play, other than, you know, watching stats, scores, anything Chad shares with me, I watched you guys play early on at Newman, and what I liked about your team, I'm funny because now I get to sit back, I observe, and you see how the coaches kind of have the personality and the fight a little bit of, the players kind of have the personality and fight a little bit of their coaches. And I like, you know, your competitive spirit on the sideline. The players, I thought, reflected that. They play extremely hard. The athleticism, the physicality, the killer instinct they bring. Just looking at your team, what do you think is like one of the big, you know, you talked about styles with all these different teams. What's one of the biggest staples of your team or things you like to hang your hat on? Because I see this physicality that I wouldn't want to go on that court. I'd be hurting. But you guys play really hard and do a really good job with that competitive fire and effort and all the kids bring to the court. But how about from your opinion, style, what you like about it, what their flair is that they bring to the Wisconsin Valley Conference?
Well, one thing we've been stressing, you know, since I've been at Pines, energy, effort, and execution are the three E's we kind of hang our hat on. But this year we've kind of twisted it to kind of set the tone. Like, we're not a real tall team, but every game we want to set the tone physically, with a physical nature to kind of let you know that, yeah, we might not be a 6'7", 6'8" guy, but we're not backing down. And we talk about the 4-4s, the first 4 minutes, the last 4 minutes of each half, and how in most games, in tight games, you can look in those spots and you're going to find out where the game went right or wrong. And we want, our goal every game is to make that other team use a timeout in the first 4 minutes. That means we set the tone, and now they're adjusting to us. That's kind of what the guys have bought into. We mixed our defense. We're playing a little bit of a, I don't know if you call it a pressure zone. I don't know what you really want to call it. It's the guys just fly around with energy in it. We track deflections. We track that kind of stuff where we can really hang our hat on, like, we're doing our job because we reached our goal on how many deflections we get, and then how many of those deflections resulted in steals, and did we convert the turnovers into points? We're really digging into like that kind of type of team, that kind of nature, and the guys have bought in 100%. We didn't really go with the what we call our two zone. We didn't really show it until I think the East game. We did it a little bit, or we did it pretty much the entire game last year in regionals against them, and then we worked on it, refined it, added things, took things away, and then we brought it back out against East this year, our first conference game, and then we kind of stuck with it, and it's just developing, and we're kind of hanging our hat on that end. We're a bit of a streaky shooting team. We're not scoring as much as we want, but I think our point total is a little bit misleading in the sense of it's taken teams so hard to figure out our zone that their offensive possessions are lasting longer than they would like at times because they're just not getting the shot. So our possessions are a little lower than they normally are. It's reflecting the score. But like last night's a perfect example of talking about the first four and last four. We let Felch get off to a 9-0 start in the first 4 minutes. We were down 9-0. He hit three threes in a row and called a timeout because I would be a horrible coach if he wasn't our scouting report to not let him get free and shoot. We did it three straight possessions to start the game, so I was a bit frustrated, but the guys adjusted. I think he only made one or two more threes the rest of the game. But then down the stretch, they started killing us on second chance points in the last 4 minutes, and we got a little bit of foul trouble. So a game that was back and forth pretty much the whole half ended up getting away a little bit towards the end of the first half because of that. But then we came out and we battled. We took a lead. We had our chances, and we just got to figure out a way to put a complete 36 minutes of our brand of basketball together and just see where it leaves us.
Again, we're talking to the head boys basketball coach at Merrill High School, Troy Pieper, here on 98.9 WXCO. Let's talk a little bit about your guys. And you said, you know, hang your hat basically on being tough and being tough to play. And I think one guy to start with is somebody we had here on the program during football season, E.J. Wikes, very impressive young man. I imagine that mentality kind of fits him, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean that is him to a T, especially on the basketball court. On the football field, you know, he's not undersized or anything like that height wise. On the basketball court, he matches up against and will go against 6'7", 6'8" people and kind of push him around because it's just, I mean, he's a physical, he's an athlete, and he can be a problem on the offensive end for teams too to match up with. But all of our guys, I mean, Tyson Knott's a sophomore, but won't back down. I mean, he went down in the post a lot last night on drives and finished at the rim. He finished with 20. EJ and Tyson had 29 of our 33 points in the second half. It was a bit of an off night, and a surprisingly off night for Corey Page. But it just shows you he went scoreless, and we had a chance to win that game. So we have other options and other guys can step up. And the most impressive thing, and I think it kind of speaks to the style and the mindset we're trying to create on the defensive end, is you can read a lot about what your team's going to be and how your team's going to react to certain situations. When your best scorers aren't scoring, how they react on the other end of the floor. And Corey was all over the place. He led us in rebounding. He was getting deflections. It didn't phase his entire game. And when your leaders and your leading scorers are still playing and playing as hard as they possibly can on both ends, even when the shot's not falling, it speaks a lot about your guys, your leadership, your team, and it makes you feel real good when it comes playoff time and things get tougher and the basket seems to get smaller, how you're going to win those games. And I like the direction we're going because of that.
One of the most difficult things I think sometimes in coaching is when you have it seems like a lot of teams in the conference have this, is these players lingering due to injury, and it can be different teams when they come back or different makeups, different how you scout, different how you pair, like you said, what you show early on, what you don't show. I always find it, from a coach's standpoint, hard to like watch you know, you don't want to, you always want to play everybody's best team every night if you're a true competitor, and you don't want to, you feel for the players that have to sit there and battle through injuries and wait. Was it, you know, how'd you go, you know, with Paige? He was out for a little while and he's coming back, and you know when he's coming back. I don't know exactly what his limitations or was with practice wise, but is that ever hard to keep the, you know, because some of those players, when they're so involved on the team, you know, they'll sit there and be at everything. And I know when you can't be out there running around, it can become a degree of boredom on that. So it's really hard. So anything that extra that you guys have to do as coaches to prepare for those injuries, to make sure the team's ready, to make sure the pieces fit together when everybody gets back in. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that journey, about getting there with him. Go ahead.
I think what it does for us, especially for it to be the start of the season like it was, it made other guys kind of have to step into a role that they weren't probably expecting to have to start the year, which is only going to benefit you because there's going to be dings throughout the year and everything else. So seeing guys fill roles and have to play extra minutes and bigger minutes and start and all that, I think it's more of a benefit. Like I said, knowing we were going to be fine once we were back and everything was good to go, it could be a blessing in disguise come playoff time when those guys now are ready to go, and they're going to have to take bigger minutes because of foul trouble. We kind of looked at it that way, and that's just it's helped us. I mean, we had guys come off the bench last night and hit big shots and play big minutes. We were in a little bit of foul trouble. So I think it just makes you a deeper team when you handle it that way. I mean, Everest, I was talking to Colin Freebie last night. He says he's going to be back in a couple weeks. Like, they're going to be better because of the minutes that guys have had to play while he's out, and then you get him back, that's just going to make them a more dangerous team. I thought for sure, I didn't see him in his walking boot, I thought for sure he was going to play last night because he welcomed awe to Spash, his first game we had to deal with. Pohl will be back. He is back. He played against Hudson and last night, so he's going to be back against us. I just figured why not let all the top players in the conference make their game return against us. But no, he's not back for a couple weeks, he said. But it's good that he's going to be back. It shows you the depth of our conference when people lose their top tier guys and they still are very, very deep and difficult to play against. And it's, again, it just speaks to our conference and how good it is and how many good players there are.
And looking at your schedule, it's interesting because you talk a lot about the conference, but you have so many of these games that are part of your sectional as well. And it's almost like having two conferences, isn't it? I mean, in a sense, because you know the importance of those games in addition to the conference, right?
Yeah, and it used to be you scheduled those because when you went to the seating meeting, you could hang your hat on head, right. That actually meant something. It barely does. I think there's a fraction of it in the seating process now. If you're battling really close to their seed score as somebody else, then they take, I don't know how, no one knows how they figure that, but that's kind of what you went with.
Right.
But it's kind of nice to play those teams to get an idea what you can do against them. We beat Medford, you know, we beat Shawano. We're faring well against them. Now Rylander's coming up. They're probably going to win the GNC. They're just handling teams right now. So that'll be a good test for us. Antigo Saturday is playing good basketball. Mm-hmm. They're like 7 or 8 and 4 or something, yep, like that. So there's no cupcakes on in the schedule coming up, and then you just throw in conference games on top of it. It makes it difficult. Like tonight, we had a nice, easy night. Last night was a very physical game. EJ rolled his ankle a little bit, so we didn't want to push the guys too much tonight. So we had more of a shooting night, like a normal Wednesday, and did a nice light lift. Tomorrow we'll get ready for Marshfield, and then, I don't know, Friday night we'll talk about Antigo because we play them Saturday. So yep, it's just like you're in that part of the season now where it's just like let's roll it out and let's play. We are who we are, and they are who they are, and whoever plays the best that night.
Coach, and I if we asked you this the last time, I apologize, but do you like I always like to hear the coaches' opinions. Do you like the computerized system? Would you rather go back to the old seating meetings? You alluded to both of them a little bit. So do you have a preference? Do you care?
I don't. the computers I have no problem with. It's fine. I mean, I have a problem with it when 2 years ago, the first year they had it, we beat Rylander handily, and somehow we had to go there for the regional final. Like, stuff like that is frustrating.
Yeah.
Where you know at a seating meeting that wouldn't have happened. But I hate seating meetings. I hate all conference meetings. I hate wasting time. Like it's just, I just don't like driving somewhere to sit down and everybody kind of already has an idea of where they're going to vote. And then we spend 2 minutes talking about our team, which I already have my thoughts of your team, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I just dreaded those seating meetings. So I'm okay with it. Thankfully, as far as all conference meetings go, the boys' coaches, we've always convinced our AD who's running it to let us do it via Zoom, which is nice. We don't have to drive somewhere to sit down and talk about the best players. We can do it over a computer, so that's been nice the last few years. So I guess, you know, it is what it is. I really do wish they would give us some sort of, like, update, you know, kind of like this is where you sit, just so you have an idea so you're not shocked when you think you're maybe a 6 seed and then all of a sudden the day of you're a 9 seed and you're like, whoa. You know, I mean, maybe just some updates throughout the year wouldn't be the worst thing. I'm pretty sure us coaches voted for that, but the WIA decided that wasn't possible. But we're not going to go down that road.
Well, as we head down the stretch, as we now, I mean, it's hard to believe, but, you know, you're a little more than a month and a half, 6 weeks, whatever it may be, towards the end of the regular season. What are the areas that your team does have to get better at as you look ahead, as you look towards the second round of the Valley, looking ahead to the postseason? Where do you think your team can be better, and where does it need to be better?
I think we can value possessions a little bit better, and there's times where we'll just take an unnecessary rush shot that, while on film and to the people in the stands and to the guy that shot it, it might look like an open shot, but it's a shot that we could probably get 4 passes later, 5 passes later and make them use a little bit of energy on defense. We kind of fall into that. And actually, once we got the lead yesterday, we had back-to-back possessions of exactly that. Either 1 pass and a tough shot or no passes and a drive and a turnover is what I think it happened. So little things like that. We're doing a very good job of turning teams over. I think we turned Everest over 16 or 18 times last night. We did the same thing in Spash. I think Rapids was over 20-some. So we're doing a good job turning them over and taking care of the basketball, but we're not converting those turnovers into points, which is how you make your runs, how you, that's just basketball. It's just any sport, football, you name it. When you force an error or force a mistake, you got to convert it. Otherwise, it's just an empty chance, really. And there's times, like last night, for example, we had less turnovers than Everest, but they had more points off the turnovers than us. Like, those are the little things that are different in winning against good teams. And we're getting there. The positives are we're not turning the ball over, and we're turning the other team over. Now we just got to convert some more points out of it, and I think we'll be fine.
And lastly, Coach, you got, I think you got a fun spot to be in. Marshfield's coming into your gym. They're up at the top of the conference with an undefeated record. And obviously with the win, things get shaken up again. You take a dagger at the top team to make it interesting. You rise yourself up in that win category in the conference. What's your team got to do to be successful against Marshfield on Friday night?
I mean, they can shoot a little not as good as they did last night against West, especially in the first half. I didn't see this. I didn't watch much of the second half yet, but I watched the first half last night after our game.
They got hot in the second half, actually, so you're going to enjoy the second half.
They started the game pretty hot. They have so many players.
Right.
You go into it, though, these are the kind of games where you go in and it's like, they're supposed to beat us. You know, I mean, they're the best team, one of the best teams in the entire state, probably expecting and hoping to make it to the state tournament. So when you get a chance to play those teams, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity, I tell the guys, to make a memory that you'll talk about at your 25th class reunion. You know, these are the kind of games you love because you really don't have anything to lose. Just roll it out, play your best basketball, fly around with a ton of energy, and make things difficult and hit some shots, and you never know. I mean, it was kind of the same talk we had with Smash. Like, make them, like, realize that, okay, we better, you know, they're for real. They're going to battle us all night. They're not scared. They're not going to back down. It doesn't matter. Like, I think it's harder. I was more worried, to be honest, to play Rapids, who had yet to win a game. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a scary team to me. Like, you know they're not going to go winless. We can't let that be against us. Those are more worrisome teams than a team that's the second or whatever they are ranked in the state and top of the conference and just beat a very good West team handily. Like, all we got to do is show up and play like we do and see where we are. I mean, that's all you can really do. There should be no fear, no worries, no nerves. Just come out and play and see where it leads us at the end of the day.
And also, before we wrap it up, I wanted to ask you about a special event that you have coming up next Friday when you do play Wausau West, not this Friday, but a week from Friday night on the 24th. I know that, you know, in part of the whole great aspect of high school sports is relationships and everything else, and you got a very special event coming up a week from Friday. Would you like to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's kind of it's going to be a cool night. It's going to be a special night. Every year we have a game where we kind of have hoops for hope. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last year, one of the bus drivers in our district is battling cancer, so it was kind of a night dedicated to him, raising money for him. This year, we're going to raise awareness for CRPS, which is complex regional pain syndrome. Very rare, unknown. People don't know about it unless it directly affects them. And it just so happens that there's a student at the Merrill High School, Josie Geis, that's dealing with it and has been dealing with it for years. She's actually in Arkansas right now getting treatment. She's been there for 2 months. She's still going to be there for two more months, I believe. And then one of my good friends, Kip Downing, his daughter, just recently, they finally, after I would say a year probably of trying to figure out what was happening with her arm and her hand, she was diagnosed, or I don't even know if it's diagnosed, but given the CRPS designation, I guess. So she's starting that process that Josie started two plus years ago. So because I knew Kip and other people that we're friends with know both the Geises and the Downings, we were able to get Ava and Josie in communication and talk, because as much of a debilitating pain this causes these girls, it's just as much mental, not only on the patient, but the families, because you're separated. Like, they're in Arkansas right now, not the whole family. Some are still here going to school and working, and Mom and Josie are in Arkansas right now. Like, it's so debilitating on so many different levels. It was so nice. They talk every day, I guess, Kip said, and it's so important to bring awareness to it, and not only that, but raise some money for both families. And we had a pre-sale. We sold some shirts for the night. We sold, I think, 137 shirts in like a week for them that they'll get the proceeds for. We have a bunch of raffle baskets that we're raffling off. It's going to be a cool night. The players, so on these nights, I get a hold of the coach. I try to schedule these with a coach that I'm pretty good friends with. This year, it just happened to be perfect with it being a West high school student, a Merrill high school student, and I'm good friends with Nate, so we get all their shirt sizes. So West will have, the players will have warm-ups with, you know, that night's meaning. It'll say Hoops for Hope, and they'll have their last name on it, and it says on the back, we support Josie and Ava. The Merrill players will have the same warm-up. The coaches will have the same shirt. It's just a cool night. It makes you realize that you can do a lot, even in high school sports. Not only in your community, but in general, to make the night a little bit more than just the game. And hopefully the boys, West and us, can put on an entertaining show for the crowds. I think it's going to be a pretty good night, pretty special night, and I'm looking forward to it.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to it as well. Looking forward to seeing you and your team and have that special night a week from Friday night, and we'll have the game right here on WXCO as well. So that's fantastic. And again, that's big of you, the entire Merrill basketball program, and real special to do that, do something that helps others each and every year. But again, Coach Troy Pieper of Merrill Blue Jays, again, appreciate your time. Best of luck as you head down the stretch in the regular season, and hopefully a nice deep playoff run as well.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Go Jays.
Head coach Troy Pieper of the Merrill Blue Jays. We're going to take a time out, come back with more. It is the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO.
We are the NFHS. That stands for the National Federation of State High School Associations. But really, what we stand for, together with the WIAA, are the 178,000 high school sports students in Wisconsin. And so we stand. We stand for the runners, soccer, and basketball players. We stand for their coaches, administrators, and officials. We stand for the swimmers, football players, and wrestlers. We stand for the golfers, softball, and volleyball players. We stand as the national leader and advocate for high school athletics and all who participate in them and make them possible. Because it is our purpose to ensure that high school students get to play, perform, and compete together. To learn more about who we are and what we stand for, visit nfhs.org.
And welcome back. Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO. With Jeff Gress, I'm Chad Holmes. And thanks again to Coach Troy Pieper of the Blue Jays. Let's try to get through the rest of the boys basketball before the top of the hour. And then, of course, we have Ava Rohde from the Central Wisconsin Storm starting off the second hour after the news. But we got through the Merrillwood South in high school boys basketball. Merrillwood North has Rib Lake at 6-1 in the conference. Then Phillips and Prentice at 4-3. Abbotsford 2-5, Athens and Shawamigan 1-6, and Rib Lake was the only team to win the crossover last week. And that obviously for the Merrillwood North, if you find ways to win those crossovers and they beat Assumption by 3 points, that kind of gave them a little bit of a buffer, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and it definitely puts you in a spot because, again,
oh, by the way, real fast, yeah, last night they beat Phillips 67-65, and that was a big win in that conference because if Phillips would have won it, there would have been a tie for first place.
And that's exactly what I was going to toss out because they came back and they knocked off Phillips in their own gym. So Rib Lake's sitting in control. It's not easy to go. Sometimes, you know, it's balancing out more, but I still think if you had a pick, the South has a little bit more of an advantage than the North when those crossover games come. It just shows in the statistics of who's consistently winning. So when they can go get one, and again, against a good athletic Assumption basketball team, it's nice to pull that out. And then they obviously held serve and got the game against Phillips. So I think they're sitting in a nice spot. They have a because I don't know how in-depth. They got Pines coming up.
Yeah.
So that'll be an interesting one to watch on Thursday.
I thought that
and they
as
go
well.
There.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. CWC East, Bondiwell, still up by a game over Wittenberg-Burnhamwood. 6-0 Bondiwell. Whitburn at 5-1. Iola 4-2. Menominee Nation and Shiocton 3-3. Wyawega-Fremont 2-4. Amherst 1-6. Manoa 0-5. And the big game of the week for the CWC East was Whitburn beating Iola 54-52 on Friday. That came off that Bondiwell loss. They were down by 8 at halftime, came back to win. Jet Rogowski at 18, Oliver Fraser 14, and then Whitburn whipped up on Lakeland in a non-conference game Monday, 96-63. Rogowski had 33 points, but that Whitburn win over Iola is a significant game because that keeps them in second place.
Yeah, and I thought a good bounce back because sometimes you get a little frazzled. It takes a little, especially when you go from Bondiwell, and then Iola Scandinavia is not. They're a solid opponent in that conference too, and hanging around the top there. So I think that whether it's tight, close, however it played out, it was important for Wittenberg to get that win, and then they made a statement against Lakeland the next night because they're gonna continue rolling a couple games till they get back because they got some of the lower end teams coming up in their schedule.
And in the CWC North, Tigerton 4-0, 10-1, Northland Lutheran 3-0. White Lake 2-2, Boulder 1-1, Gresham and Marion winless. Northland did not play the last week. We talk about that too often. They're 5-4 overall, but they have a first place showdown coming up.
Yeah, and that's basically the only note I have down is they're at Tigerton tomorrow night. So I think that's going to be a good game because right now they're undefeated in the conference. Yep. Sitting in second place just because they have a less win than the top conference. Tigerton is 4-0 and Northern Lutheran's 3-0.
They've had plenty of time to prepare, we'll say that much. But we have another hour to go. We'll talk girls basketball. We'll talk hockey. And coming up after the news, we will have our student-athlete guest for this week from the Central Wisconsin Storm, senior defenseman, one of the Storm captains, part of the defending state champs. Already has won 2 state championships in the last 3 years. We'll talk to Ava Rohde coming up next. With Jeff Gress, I'm Chad Holmes. Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by 4 generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's #1 ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.